Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Friday here in the North Shore Drive podcast, Russell Wilson is coming to visit the Steelers along with some other teams he's taking looks at. We'll take a closer look at how he would fit with the Steelers if it's actually going to happen, as well as more cuts that the Steelers make. Patrick Peterson gone. What's the impact of that? And how does that impact the plans Omar Khan has for this team? All that more on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipato, let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipato, one of our great Steelers beat writers here. And it is a big day to talk Steelers football because free agency is upon us. It's just a few days away. And there are certainly developments happening in Pittsburgh. We'll go over all of them on this show, particularly what could happen at quarterback. A reminder, the show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they're on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park. They have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are for the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. More on them later. Ray, it's not news at this, at this point. We all know it. We reported on it here at the Post-Gazette. Jerry Dulek's been writing about it. We've been talking about it. But Russell Wilson is scheduled for a visit Friday, to come to talk to the Steelers. He had already met with the Giants. He's exploring his options right now. Just what is your sense of the reality that this actually could happen, that the Steelers sign a guy who's been a Super Bowl champion, a 9-time Pro Bowler, when we were thinking maybe they won't make a splash at quarterback?
Yeah, also, according to Adam Schefter, the Raiders are involved. So presumably, if the Steelers and Wilson don't come to some sort of an agreement today, then he would visit the Raiders over the weekend. And as you know, teams cannot officially sign free agents to deals until Wednesday, but they can have the framework in place and it's a done deal. And, you know, you just can't file the paperwork. So honestly, Chris, you know, this could happen Friday night. This could happen Saturday, Sunday, Monday. This tells me that the fact that he's in town and the fact that everyone in that Steelers building is involved in it, from the owner on down to the head coach, is involved in this process. That tells me if the Steelers are serious about it and if they want to get a deal done and Russell Wilson is amenable to it, I wouldn't be surprised if we heard news on it this weekend.
I wouldn't be surprised either, but that brings into question, you know, we were thinking they might not make a splash here. What does that say about their plans for quarterback this season? If Russell Wilson comes in, is he the starter? Just that's it? You know, there's no questions asked? Or is this a competition with Kenny Pickett that you could say the Steelers be setting up?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I have a hard time believing Russell Wilson would go anywhere without the knowledge that he's either the starter or it's going to be a competition where it's a fair competition and no one is actually going to be crowned until the preseason is underway, you know. So, Russell Wilson is an accomplished player, Super Bowl winning quarterback. I know he's had some maybe down years recently, but I don't think he would sign anywhere if he didn't have knowledge that he had a legit opportunity to be a starter. And I think there would be that opportunity with the Steelers. I know they have faith in Kenny Pickett, but this might be an opportunity for Kenny Pickett to sit back, see how a vet does it, and maybe learn something. And that's something that Kenny Pickett didn't have the opportunity to do as a rookie when he was force-fed that starting role 3.5 games into the season.
Certainly would be an interesting opportunity. I just wonder about the fit here, because Russell Wilson certainly has had some great days in his career. Again, 9 Pro Bowls. He's been at one point he was one of the star quarterbacks of the NFC. Didn't have a great tenure with the Broncos, but granted, I think he was kind of like the second helpings that they were hoping to get when they brought Nathaniel Hackett in. They thought they were getting Aaron Rodgers. They didn't. And then Russell Wilson kind of came in. It didn't work out. And then Sean Payton didn't want him. So then you had two kind of not so favorable positions for him as a quarterback. But even so, like, this guy still maintains like a decent touchdown to interception ratio. Like, last year, his numbers weren't terrible. It's just that he was not on a good team. And it makes you wonder, like, if the Steelers were, is this a smart retread, or is this kind of kicking the tires because you got no other answers out here?
Yeah, listen, I view this from the Steelers' perspective, and I'll get into Russell's perspective after that. But Steelers, Chris, they're looking at this way. We have TJ Watt in his prime, maybe for only another year or two. Minka in his prime. Cam Hayward probably in his last year, hoping that he can get back to his normal self. And then you have other pieces around him, Alex Highsmith, and Landon Roberts, Joey Porter Jr. They still think they have a top 10 defense and a defense that it can help them win playoff games. What they need right now is something other than a 27th or 29th or 31st ranked offense. And that's what the offense has been for the last 3 seasons or so. And it hasn't held up very well when they did make the playoffs. So that's the Steelers' perspective. I think they view him as a guy who could take them to a playoff win rather than just 9-8, 10-7-ish, get your doors blown off in the playoffs. From Russell Wilson's perspective, if the Giants, the Raiders, and the Steelers are the only 3 teams in this, and there might be more, the Vikings, the Falcons, I mean, who knows? There's other teams that need quarterbacks. But if it's only those 3, if Russell Wilson wants to win, to me it's a no-brainer. He picks the Steelers. They're not close to winning. The Raiders might be a little bit closer to the Giants, but I don't view them as a force in the AFC. So to me, from Russell's perspective, as long as the money is close, I'm going to Pittsburgh to play behind that defense.
It's funny because you think about, like, Russell Wilson, the celebrity status with him and his wife Sierra, who's a known pop artist, and some people are like, Vegas, New York, and Pittsburgh. What are we talking about here? Well, you're right. When you look at these teams, the Raiders and where they're at, the Giants and where they're at, both of those teams, I think, don't have the pieces the way the Steelers. Like, the Steelers, everyone looks at the Steelers and says, hey, they still have a defense that ranked, that was 6th in scoring allowed. They're developing an offensive line. They've got multiple playmakers on offense. They just need a quarterback that can keep them on schedule. And maybe they'd be better. I mean, they lost by 14 to the Bills in the playoffs. So, and with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, last year they were, 10-2 when Mitch Trubisky didn't play? I think it does add up there to say that maybe the Pittsburgh's the best option. But I want to talk a little bit closer with you, Ray, about how Russell Wilson can work with this team and what you can see developing with this offense with him there. We'll do the other side of the break here, as well as talk about other moves the Steelers have made and could make heading into free agency, all here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. But first, remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, like I said before, they're right across the street from PNC Park. They're the perfect place if you want to go watch a sporting event like March Madness is coming up or all the conference tournaments. You can go there. They were 20 televisions, so you can get every single game that you want to catch, as well as enjoy any type of beer you could imagine. They have 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And they're always switching new ones in and out, so that you'll never run out of options. And when you get there, they also have amazing food options like their steak on a stone, where you choose your choice cut of steak. It's brought to you on a heated stone, and every time you cut off a piece, you just press it into the stone, and then you choose how well done you want every single bite. It's an amazing experience. Get down to Mike's Beer Bar today on the North Shore of Pittsburgh, and when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. We're going to stick on the Russell Wilson topic just for a little bit longer. Ray, one of the things as far as mixing with the team that I think there were concerns about, if you go back and you look at Russell Wilson's history, you know, his time with the Seahawks, they certainly won a lot, and he made a lot of big plays, and he was part of a Super Bowl champion, also an almost Super Bowl champion, throwing that interception at the end of that Patriots Super Bowl. But there's a lot of things that have come out since then where Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, you know, big name players, and they kind of exposed some things that showed there were divides among the team, and some of the divides involved Russell Wilson. And then you go to the Broncos where, you know, there were scenes of him being yelled at by his teammates on the sidelines and obvious kind of discontent in the coaching situations that we mentioned there. Should there be a legit concern by the Steelers that Russell Wilson, the talent-wise, fine. The price-wise, fine, because he's getting paid by the Broncos, so the Steelers don't need to pay him a whole bunch of money. Is the chemistry something that you think the Steelers should be really worried about with this with potential acquisition?
Yeah, that's what they have to try to figure out in this meeting. You know, have Russell maybe explain what went on with teammates in the past and, you know, why those relationships maybe soured or never really fully developed. And it's a strange thing, Chris. I have to be honest with you. Quarterbacks are usually the guys who have the best relationships throughout that locker room because they're seen as the leader, you know, and they're, you know, there's really not a lot of instances where you can point to like Russell Wilson where this, that stuff does take place. But, you know, I saw that, you know, when Justin Simmons was released, you know, Russ reached out via social media and, you know, Justin was appreciative of that and, you know, other guys like that. So maybe that got a little bit better towards the tail end of the season in Denver. But you're right. You know, I think there are definitely things the Steelers have to investigate, you know, before they would make this call.
I think that's where these meetings are going to happen. And I think it's also for Russell Wilson to see where does he fit in with this team right now, because the Steelers have their leadership side set up on the defensive side. Cam Hayward's still around. You know, Micah Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt. Like, they got that. But one thing we've been talking about is there's no clear leadership on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Najee Harris is kind of a lead-by-example type of guy when he's playing hard on the field. You know, Isaac Seumalo is a very quiet offensive lineman, but kind of like, you know, can be the elder statesman of that group. The receivers don't really have leader types right now. Deontay Johnson's not a leader. George Pickens isn't a vocal guy that, you know, everyone gets behind. Pat Freiermuth, I think, could emerge as one, but, you know, he's at the tight end, it's a tough spot. So if Russell Wilson comes to the team, you know, that's going to be interesting spot there, because Kenny Pickett, you know, at the beginning, before the season started, you know, when we were going through preseason, he was voted as a captain. And I think part of it was his demeanor. People can, you know, when things are going well and it's adding up, I think Kenny Pickett can be a leader, but things weren't going well. And if Russell Wilson comes to town, I think that's going to be part of the element here is who leads the offense, who does everyone rally behind. And that could make for a very interesting August when we're, or not even just August, OTAs all the times leading up to the first game of the season to see whose voice matters more in the locker room and on the field.
Yeah, Chris, it's interesting that you brought up Seumalo. You were in that locker room a lot. He wasn't a guy who would give a lot of interviews.
He wouldn't.
But on locker cleanout day, Jerry Dulac got him by himself, and Isaac told him the first thing we have to figure out, or they figure out, meaning the front office, was this quarterback position. So think back about that. What do the older players, the established players who maybe only have a couple of years left in this league, what are they thinking about Kenny Pickett / Mason Rudolph? You know, I don't want to read too much into Isaac's words, but maybe that was a signal to the front office to say, hey, we got a pretty good team here. Otherwise, why don't you guys go out and fix this quarterback position and maybe we'll be in position to win a playoff game, you know, rather than, you know, losing, what is it, 4, 5, 6 in a row. How many ever playoff games they've lost in a row now? So, you know, that you mentioning Sayamalu triggered that memory for me. So I just keep going back to it, Chris. If he signed, I don't see a path for Pickett to be the starter unless Russell Wilson just went out there and stunk up the joint in training camp and in the preseason games. I don't really see how that could happen given his resume and, you know, just given the situation overall. You're bringing this guy in to compete with Kenny, knowing Kenny needs competition. Just look at the resumes. It would be a really big upset if Russell Wilson didn't win that job.
I agree. I mean, again, this is a guy who, when you go back and look at what he's done in his career, you know, there were times where I think, you know, he was in the top five quarterback conversation, even some years where some people put him there over Ben Roethlisberger. So for Kenny Pickett to even, like, Kenny Pickett's not even in the top 20 conversation maybe in quarterback right now. Like, that's how rough it's been. Now, could he get there someday? Sure. If he works on it, if he becomes more consistent, if he becomes more accurate, that's certainly a possibility down the line. But reality right now, like you said, the Steelers looking at who they could take to the season right now. Russell Wilson just last year threw 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Like, the Steelers would take that in a heartbeat over what Kenny Pickett's given them over time. I mean, and I get that he's a younger guy and he can develop and everything, but Kenny Pickett right now on his career is 13 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. And, you know, some of the lack of touchdowns is part of just the natural part of the Steelers were trying to, you know, protect the football, and they were trying to make sure that, hey, you know, don't turn the ball over, let the defense win the game. And certainly also, you know, being fair to Kenny Pickett, you know, he came into a situation where the offensive line was being redone and the run game wasn't all the way there. So there's a lot of things that go against it. But, like, you know, Russell Wilson with a not so great situation in Denver as well. And he absolutely handled it better. And that's where I'm just kind of like, if he comes in, like, Kenny Pickett has to learn behind him. And at the same time, he has 2 years left on his rookie deal before his fifth year extension would have to kick in if they did kick it in. This move, if they brought him in, it would really put a lot of pressure on Kenny Pickett to show what he has, and rather soon, if he wants to still be considered as part of the future of this organization.
Yeah, I agree with you. It would be a tough spot for Kenny, but to me, if you're Kenny Pickett, how do you look back at the last two seasons knowing that you couldn't stay on the field for health reasons? And that's part of football, but also just looking at the stats and knowing how much the offense struggled. You know, I think he was expecting competition to come in and for him to be challenged. So, you know, I've read some places today, Kenny Pickett should ask for a trade. I mean, come on. Who's going to trade for Kenny Pickett? And what ground does Kenny Pickett have to stand on to ask to be traded? You know, you're a young quarterback. You got to go out and prove yourself. What better way to do it than against a guy who's got all kinds of accolades on his resume, including a Super Bowl win. So to me, for Kenny, you know, if I was him, bring it on, right?
Let's
see who wins this competition.
And that's the thing. People say, oh, what about the pressure on Kenny Pickett? Guess what? You know, if you can't handle pressure of just someone else being your quarterback room, you can't take the pressure of leading a team to a Super Bowl. And that's ultimately what they're looking at here. And here's the other thing. Yeah, if Russell Wilson comes in, he'd be the presumed favorite. But if Kenny Pickett did overcome Russell Wilson, like say he took the job from him and became the starting quarterback, and then maybe that, not to me, not only would say, hey, we respect you as the team could rally behind it. You know, Kenny, you earned your spot. It'll be a confidence boost for him. I think it'll confidence boost for the organization and say, like, okay, this has been part of his journey. And if it doesn't work out, guess what? The Steelers have, they have a guy who's won the Super Bowl before leading them at quarterback until they make their next move at finding the quarterback of the future. It adds up. It's not done yet. As of literally us recording 1:30 in the afternoon on Friday, this could be, things could change, you know, at the drop of a hat, but it adds up in a lot of ways for me, at least, to bring him in to say, hey, Kenny Pickett. The biggest question I had was how serious were the issues that, you know, might have developed in Seattle and Denver, and is that something that could start up in your locker room? If the Steelers find that that's not going to happen, go get this guy. Because again, they don't have to pay him anything. The Broncos owe him like $39 million. And no matter what happens, so Russell Wilson's made it clear, like, I just want to go somewhere to win. And you know, he's any payday that he gets only takes away from the money that he's getting from the Broncos. So he can take league minimum and still make, you know, insanely a great amount of money this year.
Yeah. And one other point, and, you know, people can probably say this about the Raiders or the Giants too, but, you know, Russell Smith has played in an Artie Smith style offense before. Pound the rock, play action,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He knows how to win within that framework, that type of an offense too. So, you know, one other thing going in the Steelers' favor, hey, we'll see what happens by the end of the weekend.
We will. We got to talk about other moves that are being made. The Steelers cut Patrick Peterson. Not something we weren't totally expecting at all, but it's now confirming things that we've been expecting to see. What other moves could be coming with that? All that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipato, stick with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipato. Ray, let's get into other aspects of this. Russell Wilson is the only news here. But Patrick Peterson's now been cut by the Steelers. He was released Friday morning, and now he is off the roster, which was something, you know, we kind of talked about before. Like, it was expected. Just his cap hit was way too high. The only way that he'd be sticking around is if he signed an extension that would severely lower his cap hit. But now with him gone, that frees up about, I think, like $6.8-ish million in cap space. I believe according to overthecap.com, they have about, the Steelers should have about $18.4-ish million in cap space with the releasing of him and Keanu Neal. But now the question is that you've done that, there's still other obvious moves that they could make here that would help their cap situation. Like, what the heck is going on with Allen Robinson? That's $10 million that could just easily be freed up. That'd put them at about $28.4 million in cap space. And you could still do restructures for guys like Watt and Fitzpatrick. You could do an extension for Hayward where you throw on some void years. And you could add up a lot of cap space really quickly to the Steelers so they can make some serious moves in free agency. But what do you see actually happening next if you're the Steelers as far as players on their team? Then we'll start to talk about the free agents that are available.
Yeah, I think Robinson, it's almost assured that he'll be cut. The only way he comes back if he, you know, they rip up the old contract and he comes back for like vet minimum or close to it. And if you're Allen Robinson, why do that? Maybe you can go find $2-3 million someplace else, or maybe he says, hey, okay, I like it here. You know, I'll play for the vet minimum. So he's at the end of his career. I don't know that he's going to have a lot of options, but you're right. You know, they're, with him getting cut or cut drastically in salary, they're right around $28 million. And I think the Hayward thing is inevitable too. They can't have him on the books for a $22 million cap hit. They're going to want to get that down. So that could go up, you know, that could be $33-35 million in cap space that they have by the time they do that. So those are the two big ones. There might be another surprise or two, but hey, listen, 35, maybe 40 million in cap space after restructures. That's not a bad spot to be in, you know, once you get free agency underway.
It certainly isn't. And again, they can probably create more there. But let's talk about what they'll need to do in free agency, because the Steelers still like to be able to go into an offseason with options available to them. But their options are slimming in a lot of positions. Like, for example, at cornerback right now, you know, Patrick Peterson's gone, Levi Wallace, I believe, is gone, Shannon Sullivan's gone, you know, as far as, you know, just going to free agency at this point. So your corners right now are Joey Porter Jr., Corey Trice, and Darius Rush. Even James Pierre's a free agent going into this season. So they have to make multiple moves at corner right now, slot and outside. We're presuming that they're going to draft a guy, but I have a feeling they're going to have to sign at least two corners, maybe even three, to kind of complete this room out, you know, maybe two and then draft and then just know that you're going to draft a guy. And then hope that, you know, either Trice or Rush develop into at least a solid depth player for you this year. But that to me seems like a big priority right now.
Yeah, you got to sign a starter to replace Peterson, because even if you spend a high pick on a corner, you don't want to go into the season knowing you have to play that guy. So that's going to be money well spent. Go out and get an outside corner. You know, the slot, you know, I thought Chandon Sullivan was okay last year. I can see them bringing him back for not a lot of money. You know, if they want to sign a slot in free agency, there's plenty of slots in free agency. I was going through that earlier today. I mean, there's, you want to spend a little bit of money, you can go out and get a slot, or you could draft one, maybe second, third, fourth round there. So pretty good draft for corners. You know, obviously the big tall outside corners are going to be off the board early, but I think you can get some good options in the slot, maybe at 51 or even 84 in the third round, where those guys can come in and potentially help you as rookies.
So certainly that's definitely a spot the Steelers could be looking at here, but there's also what might be the biggest free agent group that has developed here in the past week or so. And that's the safety position, because, yeah, you know, we've seen a lot of guys get let go from the safety spots. Justin Simmons, a multi-time first team all pro guy. You still got guys like Cameron Curl, Geno Stone, Julian Blackman, but Jordan Poyer from the Bills has been let go. And so you have a really interesting pool here. Before, I was thinking, oh, they could sign a safety, you know, in free agency. Now that might also be another position where they need to double hit. Jordan Whitehead, also noted former Pitt guy, available in here. And these are all guys, you know, not all of them, but a lot of these guys. You look at Jordan Whitehead, he'll be 27 when the year starts. Jordan Fuller from the Rams, he'll be 26. Julian Blackman, he'll be 26. Geno Stone from the Ravens, who I think had 7 interceptions this year, he'll be 25. There's a lot of guys here that have experience, are young, athletic, and could maybe replenish your safety room to get to the point where Minkah Fitzpatrick can go back to just being that center fielding free safety that got him all his interceptions in his career.
Yeah, and some of those guys you mentioned are free safeties rather than strong safeties. And, you know, I think they need maybe a different type of a guy to play opposite Minkah Fitzpatrick, because you're right, they want to get back to where they can let Minkah be that defense's top playmaker in the back end. And he hasn't been able to be that the last couple of years because they've needed him, you know, in the slot or in different roles in that secondary. So, you know, the other thing you have to think about with safety, and I think they're probably going to draft one too, you know, Minkah's making $18 million a year. Can you really afford to pay Cam Curl, you know, when he's probably going to make 10, 12, 13 million a year in free agency. And when you, safety is just not a position where you tie up that much money. So, you know, I'm thinking like maybe Mike Edwards of the Chiefs, or, you know, someone that you can get for $3-4 million a year. I think it's going to be somebody in that low to mid tier range who ends up coming in here, much in the same way Keanu Neal was last year.
And that does make a lot of sense. You know, maybe a guy like a Jeremy Chinn type of guy who, you know, wouldn't ask that much money, but, you know, I don't think Jordan Whitehead would ask for a whole lot of money. I mean, he's certainly had good plays, but he might range you around like $5-6 million a year. I think Julian Blackman's around that range, but you can't double up there. I agree. Like if you're getting one of those guys, cool, but that person's also going to have multiple roles. Like you better be a strong safety and also a slot coverage option there. And that's where I think that you look at guys and how they play. You need someone who's going to be versatile to take up that money. And then there's still, you know, getting a cheaper guy on top of that person that you do spend for.
Yeah, and I know Jordan came down into the box a little bit when he was at Pitt. I thought he was a well-rounded safety at Pitt. Correct me if I'm wrong, with the Jets, he was more of a, you know, more of a center fielder type. He'd be back in the back end, you know, making plays, plays on balls and that sort of thing. So I don't think he was mostly – I think he was more of a free safety center fielder in New York rather than a box safety, which I think is maybe what the Steelers want there. But going back to his days at Pitt, if he can recreate that, if he can come down in the box and be that guy again, then maybe he would be their guy.
Certainly, there's a lot of different ways the Steelers could go in free agency. We'll be keeping you up to date with all of them at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Stay tuned for all the things we'll have. We'll have a Monday show again, with, you know, just breaking down things that we saw over the weekend to get you guys up to date. But stay tuned, post-gazette.com. That's where things are going to go up the fastest. You'll find all of the written work that we have there. Ray, Jerry, Brian, they're on the case when it comes to the Steelers move that they're trying to make. We'll be back here on the North Shore Drive podcast on Monday, but tune in tomorrow. We'll have one of our draft episodes. Ray will be talking with Adam Bittner about the options the Steelers have. Thanks again to Ray, and thank you all for joining us here in the North Shore Drive podcast. Remember, we're every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's podcasting apps, where you can listen to us on your favorite podcasting apps, as well as watch us and like us on YouTube. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you Monday back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.